Amen. If you have your Bible, open with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And let me pray for us as we dive into God's Word together this morning. Lord, we do come to You and we do thank You that even in the midst of difficulty, You are there and You work through our infirmities, through our afflictions, through our thorns, for blessing, even though sometimes we can't see it. You are working in the midst of it all. And You do that because You, Lord Jesus, are the good shepherd who only wants what is best for His sheep. And so we thank You for the care and the provision and the love that You have for us. And now as we open Your Word to John chapter 10 to look specifically at You, Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and the work You do and how we are to respond to that work, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and cause us and lead us to respond appropriately to You, appropriately to what You have done, so that You might be glorified and You might use us to proclaim Your majesty throughout the world. So thank You for meeting with us here. Thank You for what You're going to say to us through Your Word now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Growing up, before cell phones were a thing, before everybody had a cell phone in their hand or in their pocket, in our home we had a landline phone. Some of you remember those. Some of you, you don't know what I'm talking about, but a landline phone was a phone that was hooked to the wall with a line that came out of the wall into the back of the receiver. And then the receiver had another cord that went from the base to the handheld device you held up to your ear and you listened and talked to people on. And so we had one of those in our home. And the thing was, is the cords on those phones were about that long. You couldn't go very far. So you had to stand right there at the base and talk to whoever you were talking to on the phone for everybody in the house to hear. That is, unless you were wealthy. If you were wealthy, you could go to Walmart or somewhere like that and buy one of those extra long curly cords and plug in, and you might could walk away 6 feet to sit down in a chair or whatever and talk. But that's how it was in my house. And I remember, I got to thinking about all those things this week, and I remember there were times where we would get a phone call and I would run over to the phone and I would answer and I'd say, hello. And the person on the other end would say, hey, Bobby, this is so-and-so. And I would quickly say, nope, this is not Bobby. This is Bradley. You want my dad. Hold on, I'll go get him. And sometimes when I would say that, the person on the other end of the phone would say, Bradley, you sound just like your dad. And I was like, okay, well, it's not very encouraging to me, but whatever. Okay, let me go get my dad. And so I would go get him, and then he'd get on the phone. And as I got to thinking about that this week, and especially in light of what I was reading in John chapter 10, I became keenly aware of the fact that we need to make sure that the voices that are speaking to us, the voices that we are listening to, the voices that we are hearing, are voices of truth and not voices of falsehood. Voices that are leading us and directing us in the ways of God and not in the ways of sin and falsehood and ungodliness. Because if we are not careful, the voices that we are hearing may not be voices of truth. They may not have our best interests at heart. And so this morning, I want us to look at the one voice that we should be listening to and allowing to speak into our lives, and that voice is the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. You see, it is only Jesus who has our best interests at heart. It is only Jesus who will speak the truth into our life. It is only Jesus and the voice of Jesus that will lead us in the right way as followers of Him. And so everyone here needs to pay attention to John chapter 10, verse 1 through 18, as we look at the voice of the Good Shepherd and His work and how His sheep respond to Him. And so in these verses, just kind of setting it up, because there's a lot of metaphors and symbolism in this passage. In these verses, we're going to read a lot because there's a heavy emphasis on shepherding and sheep. And Jesus uses this imagery because it was common in that day. Shepherding was very common in the everyday life of Israel in the days of Jesus. The people knew that sheep are the most helpless, defenseless, straying, and dirtiest of all animals on the earth. They understood that sheep required constant oversight and leading and rescuing and cleaning, or else they would die. And because we live in the Western world, because we live here in America, we're more familiar with shepherding of flocks done by dogs as they herd the sheep into the fence or out into the field or whatever. We're more familiar with that type of shepherding. And so when we read John chapter 10, it might be difficult for us to understand the intimacy a shepherd has with his sheep that Jesus speaks of here. In one commentary I read this week, the author tells of two pictures that he remembered from his own life and some time he spent in Israel as he was observing shepherds there and how they interacted with their sheep. And he says this, he said, one picture that he remembers is that of a shepherd leading his sheep through the city of Jerusalem just outside the Jaffa Gate. He says, cars were whizzing by while the shepherd sang and gently whispered to his sheep, and they dutifully followed him despite all of the bustling traffic nearby. He said, the other picture is that of an early morning when the shepherds began to lead their sheep out of the sheepfold, which contained the combined flocks of four shepherds. And as each shepherd took his turn and began to sing and call his sheep, they dutifully separated from the larger flock and began to follow him to the hills for their daylight feeding. So these two pictures this author gives, he said, it shows us that a shepherd has a personal attachment to his sheep, and the sheep are portrayed as recognizing the shepherd's voice and responding accordingly to it. Again, as I said a moment ago, we live in a world where all kinds of voices are speaking to us and speaking into our lives, voices that seek to lead us in one direction or another. And when it comes to those voices, whether it be the voice of a parent, a teacher, a boss, a coworker, a news anchor, a politician, even a pastor, we need to make sure that they are voices of truth, speaking the word of the Good Shepherd into our lives, and not the voices of false shepherds who will lead us astray and lead us in the wrong way. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who speaks the truth of God. Jesus is the shepherd that seeks to lead his people in the right way, and that is what he seeks to communicate here in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Beginning in verse 1, John records that Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus is the good shepherd. And in this passage, he describes the work that he accomplishes, the work of the good shepherd. The shepherd's work is not an easy task. It can be dirty, it's stinky, and sometimes it's outright dangerous. The shepherd's main concern was the welfare of their flock. They were concerned with providing their sheep with food and water, as well as guarding them from predators and thieves. That was their primary responsibilities. At night, after a day of being in the fields grazing, the shepherd would lead the sheep into the fold, and as the sheep passed by him into the fold, he would count each sheep to make sure that none had been lost. And after all the sheep were in the fold, which was a simple enclosure, sometimes built into an existing cave, once they were all into the fold, the shepherd would lay down across the opening, becoming the very gate that kept the sheep inside and predators and thieves outside. In his abundant care for his sheep, the shepherd recognized each one of the sheep, and he would often name them. The sheep in turn recognized the voice of their own shepherd. And as we begin to understand that, and as Jesus begins to use that symbolism, we begin to understand what Jesus is saying about himself, that he is the good shepherd, and we need to be aware of the work that he accomplishes for his sheep. First, as the true shepherd of his sheep, Jesus has care for and intimacy with his sheep. If you haven't picked up on it already, let me just say that when we read the term or the word sheep in this passage, it is not a reference to literal sheep, the animal, but it is a metaphor for people. And this is not uncommon to the Bible. Throughout the Bible, humans are referred to as sheep. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 describes humankind as being like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 verse 36, as he looked out at the crowds, it says he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. So often when the Bible speaks about sheep, it is speaking about people. It's speaking about us. But here in John chapter 10, when Jesus speaks about sheep, he is speaking about Christians. He's speaking about his sheep, those whom he has saved. And he says, I have care for and intimacy with my sheep. We see that care and that intimacy here. We see it in three ways. He knows them, he leads them, and he calls them by name. Jesus knows his sheep. Let's think about that for a moment. They are his own, he says in verse 3 and 4. He also knows. He knows them because he calls them by name. He knows them and he can call them by name because they are his. They belong to him. And they have belonged to him since before the foundation of the world. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 makes clear that those who belong to Jesus have had their names written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. And they have been given to Jesus by the Father, according to John chapter 6, verse 37. So he knows them because they're his own, and he calls them by name. But we further see Jesus' care for and intimacy with his sheep as he leads them out in verse 3 and as he goes ahead of them in verse 4. You see, in the days of Jesus, shepherds went ahead of their flock to watch for any potential dangers, making sure that the path they were leading them on was safe. And as he led his sheep to feed in green pastures, he had already scouted out those pastures ahead of them to make sure they were safe for them. And so Jesus calls his sheep to follow him for salvation. And as his sheep follow him, he leads them, taking them to the green pastures and quiet waters of God's truth and blessing. This is what David said of the Lord, his shepherd, in Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then David adds in verse 23, in Psalm 23, verse 4, that even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he fears no evil. Why? For his shepherd is with him. If Jesus is your shepherd, he is with you too. No matter what difficulty you are dealing with right now or will face in the future, the good shepherd is leading you. He is going before you. He is walking with you. And sometimes we have to pass through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of darkness, in order to get to the green pastures and the quiet waters. But dear friends, you are not walking that path alone. As you are following Jesus, the Good Shepherd, He is leading you. And He is caring for you. And He is watching you. Secondly, earlier I stated that at night, once the shepherd got all the sheep into the fold, he would lay down across the only opening into the fold, making himself the door. And here in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says of himself, "I am the door of the sheep." And so we see that Jesus is the door into the fold. What is significant about verse 7 is the words, "I am." This is the third of seven "I am" statements in the Gospel of John. The significance of "I am" is that when Jesus uses it, He is equating himself with God. He's saying, "I am God." And we know that to be the case because when Moses, back in the book of Exodus, when Moses has that conversation with God at the burning bush and God is calling him to be the deliverer of his people, he asks God, "What is your name?" And what does God say? He says, "My name is I am." So if they ask who sent you, you tell them, "I am sent you." And now, all these years later, all these centuries later, Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "I am the Good Shepherd." He's equating himself with God, and he's saying here that no one is able to enter the fold of God by any other way other than through him. It is only through Jesus, the door, that lost sinners can approach the Father and receive the salvation that he provides. This is why we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given by which we must be saved. So dear friends, don't listen to the voices today that say there are many paths to God. There is only one path, one door, and that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must enter through Him and only Him if you're going to be saved and go to heaven. And that is only possible because of the next thing we see about the work of the Good Shepherd. He dies for you. It's only possible for you and I to be saved as the Good Shepherd lays down his own life, which is what he says in verse 11. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is another "I am" statement of Jesus, the fourth in this gospel. In verse 10, Jesus said that he came that they, his sheep, may have life and have it abundantly. But here's the thing. Such abundant life comes at a great cost to the shepherd. It cost the shepherd His own life. Five times throughout this passage, Jesus promises to lay down His life for His sheep. Verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18. Four times. He promises to lay down His life. You see, a faithful shepherd in Jesus' day was always willing to lay down their life to protect their sheep. They understood that robbers and wild animals would come against their sheep. They understood that wolves and lions and bears were a constant threat, a constant danger. So the shepherd had to be willing to fight them off at the cost of his own life if that's what it took to protect his sheep. And Jesus, the good shepherd, goes beyond being willing to risk his life for his sheep. He actually lays down his life for them. He says, I'm not only willing, but I will do it. Because this is the work the Father has given me. That I lay down my life for my sheep. And if I lay down my life, I will take it up again. The good shepherd becomes then the sacrificial lamb, who gives his life to save his own sheep. Jesus becomes exactly who John the Baptist identified him to be in John chapter 1, verse 29. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus did this because He loves us. He loves His sheep, which is the next thing. The work of the shepherd. He loves his sheep. He would not do these things. He would not call his sheep by name. He would not be the door that they can enter in to be saved. He would not have care for and intimacy with his sheep. He would not die for his sheep if he did not have love for his sheep. So he loves his sheep. We will hear Jesus later say in this very gospel in John chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus will say, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Here in John chapter 10 and verse 14 and 15, Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. He says, I know who belongs. I know who's a part of my fold. I know whom I have saved. And those who I know, they know me. And then don't miss what he does. Jesus takes that relationship where he says, I know my own and they know me. And he ties it directly to the relationship that he and the Father have. I know my own and my own know me in the same exact way that I know the Father and the Father knows me. And the word know here is used to represent that loving relationship that exists between Jesus and His people. Jesus knows them and they know Him. Jesus loves them and they love Him. Just as the Father knows Jesus and loves Jesus, and Jesus knows the Father and loves the Father. And so Christians are caught up in the deep and intimate affection that is shared between God the Father and God the Son. He loves His sheep. And then finally, the work of the good shepherd. Not only does he care for us and have intimacy with us, not only is he the door that we enter through to be saved, not only does he lay his life down so that we can be saved, not only does he love us and unite us with himself and unite us with God the Father, but finally the work of the good shepherd is that he unites us as people. He unites his sheep. The mission of Jesus is to bring all of his sheep into one fold. Take note of what he says in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And might I say, we should be very thankful for the words of John 10:16, because Jesus making this statement about other sheep which are not of this fold, which he must bring into the fold, It's about us. It's about you and me. The other sheep that Jesus is referring to are Gentiles who will hear the voice of Jesus and be saved by Him, thus becoming one flock made up of Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles with one shepherd. And this one flock made up of Christian Jews and Christian Gentiles from the nations is who we see singing to the Lamb in Revelation 7 as they sing, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And the question is, will you be one of those singing that song to Him in eternity? Will you be a part of that fold? See, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and the work He has done and is doing for His sheep. He cares for them, desiring to save them and forgive them of their sin. He laid down His life so that they could be saved and enter into an intimate, loving relationship with Him whereby they know Him and are led by Him. He loves them to the point that He laid down His life to save them. And now entering through Him, they are brought into unity with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit, and also with other Christians as they become one fold with one shepherd. So see the work the Good Shepherd has done and is continuing to do. But again, here's the question. In seeing this work of the Good Shepherd, how will you respond? How should you respond? Well, let's turn and look at that. Let's look at the response of the sheep. The Apostle Paul writes about this response in Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes these words. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, in the heavens and things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory." Here's what Paul is saying. Paul is writing about the salvation Christians have received through Christ, a salvation that was given to them because they were chosen to be holy and blameless before God the Father in Jesus before the foundation of the world. This predestined salvation occurred and occurs because God in love adopts us as His children through Jesus Christ, and this happens to the kind intention of His will. So God predestined to save His own well before the foundation of the world had ever been established. But note that while God predestined us unto salvation, it is received by hearing the gospel and us placing our faith in the completed work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. This is why Paul says here in Ephesians 1, in Jesus, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, after hearing the gospel, and then he says, and having believed that gospel, meaning having recognized it as truth, recognized it as the Word of God for your salvation, and having placed your faith in that gospel and in the completed work of Christ on your behalf, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we see here the divine sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man in salvation, that God has predestined His people to be saved, and those who are His will hear the gospel and respond to it in faith in Jesus and His completed work on the cross on their behalf. And this is why we as Christians must preach the gospel now, because we don't know who belongs to the fold of God. Only God knows all those who are going to be saved. Only God knows all the names that are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We do not know that. Therefore, that is why we preach the gospel, because Paul says here in Ephesians 1, as we preach the gospel, the people who are going to be saved hear that gospel and they respond and they believe and are saved. Dear friends, this is why it is urgently important for us to preach the gospel. And here in John chapter 10, Jesus tells us what the response of His sheep who hear the gospel is. In the gospel, they hear Jesus' voice and follow Him. That's the only response. There is no other response. The only response to the voice of Christ is to totally surrender yourself to Him and follow Him. There is no other response. This is the only one. That's why Jesus said in John 10, verse 3 through 5, the sheep hear His voice and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. A stranger, they will not follow. They'll flee from Him. Why? Because they don't know the voice of strangers. The sheep of Jesus hear only His voice and follow Him. They will not abandon their sheep to follow some other shepherd. No one who is truly saved will fully and completely walk away or turn away from Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if you are familiar with the word deconstruction or not. It is a word that has become very popular in recent years as related to the Christian faith. And there are a number of popular Christians who have deconstructed their faith, one of those being Joshua Harris, the author of the popular book of my generation, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. You might be familiar with that book. You might be familiar with Joshua Harris. On July 26, 2019, through his Instagram account, Joshua Harris announced that he and his wife of 19 years were divorcing. And on July 26th of 2019, he posted these words: I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all measurements that I have for defining a Christian, Joshua Harris says, I am not a Christian. And this is someone who once professed faith in Christ, who wrote Christian books, who preached Christian gospel. And now he says, I have realized, I have deconstructed my faith. I am not a Christian. Joshua Harris has abandoned the faith that he once confessed to have. And I use him as an example because no true Christian who has heard Jesus' call of salvation and heard Jesus' voice and responded to that voice ever walks away from the Good Shepherd. It's not possible. And I know it's not possible because Jesus Christ said, of them that the Father gave to me, I lose not one. It's impossible. Those who abandon their profession of faith like Harris prove that neither their faith nor their salvation was real. John, the very author of this gospel, will later write a letter that we have that we know as 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, he writes of people who do what Joshua Harris has done. He writes, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not of us. True sheep who hear the voice of Jesus follow Him. They do not walk away from Him. And so this morning, see the work of the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ, that He laid down His life to save you. And He did this because He cares for you and He wants an intimate, loving relationship with you. And as you recognize that He is the door that you must enter through in order to be saved and have your sin forgiven and brought into the fold of God, whereby you are united with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and united with all other Christians, how will you respond to that work? Hearing the voice of Jesus call you to come and be saved, you only have one choice. follow him. There's no other option. That's the only option he gives. Follow me. Do my Christian brothers and sisters see what Jesus has done because of his love and his care for you? He died to save you. Don't listen to the false voices of the world that only seek to steal, kill, and destroy your joy in Christ. Keep your ears tuned into the voice of Jesus, your good shepherd. Reject all error that the voices of this world speak to you. Those who are of God's fold do not listen to the voice of strangers because they know the voice of the good shepherd. And as you and I stay in the Word of God every day, we will know and we will hear the voice of the good shepherd. And we will be led by him as he speaks to us through his Word. And as we are, may we be voices of truth, speaking the gospel into a world full of false voices who only lead people astray. Let us proclaim the truth of the gospel so that people will hear the voice of Jesus calling and they will follow him. This morning, if you're here and you hear Jesus calling, there is only one option for you. Follow him. He speaks, and he is speaking to you, and he is moving in your heart because he wants to save you. Follow him. There's no other option. Follow him. Surrender your life to him. And he is speaking to you and moving in your heart now. Why? Because he loves you. He has care for you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to unite you with himself and with the Father and the Holy Spirit and all other Christian brothers and sisters. And he has laid his life down for you to accomplish that work. Follow him. God, we come to you. We thank you that you work in our hearts to show us the work that your Son accomplished for your glory and our good. You sent your Son knowing what it would cost him to redeem us and save us. Knowing what it would cost him to save the people of your fold. And you sent him anyway. And Jesus, you came knowing what it would cost you to be our good shepherd. Knowing that it would cost you your life to save us from the false voices and the false shepherds of the world so that we would be led in truth and led to green pastures and still waters and ultimately led into the kingdom of God where we will spend eternity. And you knew that doing that work, accomplishing that work would cost you your very life. And you said, Father, I will go and I will do it. This is the work you've given me. And I will lay my life down willingly for your people, my sheep. And so Jesus, we thank you that you've done that. You have completed that work. That work is finished. But there are still sheep of your fold who you need to bring in. And it is likely some of those sheep are in this room this morning. And I pray that right now, in this moment, the Holy Spirit is working in their heart. And they hear you calling. May they follow you. May they see that's the only response. There's no other response. They hear you calling. They are to follow. So work now, Holy Spirit, in this time. Lead us to respond as we should. For us as Christians, embolden us with the gospel. That we might be voices of the truth who go out into this world and preach and proclaim the truth. In a world full of false voices which seek to kill, steal, and destroy, may we be voices of hope, encouragement, and joy, and peace, proclaiming that it is found in Jesus. Work now as we respond. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.